Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
So to date, in regards to the coronavirus, I've talked about hope, fear, and grief. So I think this is one last piece, today's talk. And so I'm going to just read a story, brief story, to start out. This is one of the classic Zen stories, are always between a monk and a teacher, and this one's no different. A monk once asked the teacher, "What should I do when things come from every direction?" And the teacher said, "Hold to the center." Then the teacher said, "Yesterday, as I was on my way to dinner in the village, I was caught by a sudden storm with heavy rain and violent wind. So I headed for an old shrine and found shelter." So difficult circumstances, political upheaval, the loss of a loved one, termination from a job, a pandemic, all can make life feel suddenly unstable. And things are coming at us from all directions. So, you know, you're familiar with this, but when this happens, we have a tendency to live our lives from an unquestioned set of beliefs. And these beliefs make us feel solid. But things are always changing. And so how can we know what will happen next when we know we can't? So as we know, the universe, from its tiniest particles to its largest forms, are continually in flux. So in this regard, and in terms of this being the last piece of going through the experience that we're sharing right now, and as you know, this is something that I lean on in my own life, and that's the three tenets of the Zen peacemakers: not knowing, bearing witness, and compassionate action. And the three of these work together. They're not necessarily linear. But I won't go into any detail about that today. So the first one is not knowing. And I know the other thing I want to mention. I'm going to put a little bit of emphasis today on the bearing witness part, which is something that I think we can use along with the other two as we go through this experience and as we relate to each other, whether it's us as a Sangha or our family or the people that we encounter in our daily lives. And not knowing really is the foundation of Zazen. The more we sit, the more we sit in a place of not knowing. And so that's sort of preparation for living out the three tenets of the peacemaker order. So Zazen trains us to continually set aside fixed points of view. And this place of not knowing many times can be seen as a flash of openness or a sudden shift into being in the present moment. You know, if we sit and we involve ourselves as we do and we live our lives, sometimes it's just, and we are free of all those layers, all those filters. So Bernie always says, when this happens, we're able to enter our lives clean. Right? It's like a foggy mirror is the way I imagine. You know, you clean the mirror and then it's much clearer. And by doing this, we actually strengthen our capacity to listen to other points of view. And it can allow us to be present to life without immediately imposing our story, our fixed belief. Now, another part of this not knowing, it's not just about dealing with what we would describe in our language as externally, but this state of not knowing is also entering into parts of ourselves, those parts that we have fixed ideas about, which may not be particularly helpful in living out our lives. So one of my first experiences with not knowing and actually having not knowing as being a teacher was in my beginning years of practice when I was up in Riverdale, where Bernie first was when he came back to the East, opened the Zen community of New York. And over time, it started out as a traditional Zen center. But over time, because of the nature of Bernie, it slowly began to also be involved with social action, which was actually good for me because, well, for all of my life, I've been a social worker. But particularly at that time, I was involved as a social worker and also eventually a social work supervisor dealing with homeless clients. and creating a couple of programs. I worked in Patterson for homeless clients. And so, I had done this for years. So without knowing it, I subtly, considered myself to be very knowledgeable about homelessness. And so Bernie started these, now they're called Bearing Witness Retreats, but back then they were called Street Retreats. And it started out where a group of the Sangha members would go to a place in the city, in New York City, where there was a lot of homeless people. And I don't know if this was the first one or not, but I signed up being a social worker. I figured this would be a good thing to do and I might be able to contribute something. So I signed up for this street retreat and it took place down in the Bowery. And basically, we were on the streets having nothing except the clothes on our backs. And this is in the winter, so it was actually the 4 days, And the 4 days were below freezing, and one of the days it snowed all day. I actually have a photograph, because we would do these practice circles. There's 22 of us. And it's, you could see there's this big circle of us sitting, all huddled up with our wool caps and seven layers of clothing, and it's snowing out. We didn't have any cell phones back then. So no money, only the clothes that we had on our back, which, as I said, was many layers because it was cold. So part of our experience was to live on the street for those 4 days and bear witness to being homeless. And bearing witness meant to engage people, not just to sit on the bench watching what homeless people do and how it was for them. Now, as I just mentioned, being in a place of not knowing is a place where we look at ourselves as well. So one of the things that, and here I, I've had at this point maybe 4 or 5 years of working with homeless people, mostly males, and one of the first things that I noticed was that I was afraid. I could feel the fear arise in me. And as I sat with it, I realized that that was because I was feeling extremely vulnerable. And everything that I thought I knew about homelessness was not there to be a crutch or something to rely on, because now I was homeless. It wasn't just something that I talked about or homeless people that I talked to. Even though I think we all knew that at the end of 4 days, we would go back to safety. For those 4 days, it wasn't like that. It was really being homeless, homeless on the streets with other people who were homeless. Now, on the other side of that fear, when I began to accept the fact that I was afraid, it allowed me to become more vulnerable. And it sort of flipped. The fear became more of compassion and connection. The fear really created a separation because I, Carl, was afraid of those people, the homeless. But as that softened, and as I, instead of pushing it away and hiding from it, as I opened to it, I began to experience more of a connection that we were more of a family, not observers and observed. And one of the more profound experiences that I had was at night, and there was a homeless shelter. And we got coffee and we would take one of those little cardboard things with coffee in it. And we would walk out in the city where the homeless were sleeping. A lot of the homeless guys were sleeping, and with coffee to see if any one of the people wanted a cup of coffee. And so I was walking around and it was like a bench. I don't remember the name of it, but sort of a little park kind of thing that had trees and benches and stuff. But it was a place where these homeless guys congregated. I say guys because I don't remember encountering any women, but it doesn't mean that women don't also wind up being homeless. And so there was this guy who was laying on a bench, but it was like seeing a cocoon. You couldn't see anything but wrap blankets and coats and all like this, and it was totally covered. And so I went up to this cocoon and I said, "Hey man, would you like a cup of coffee?" And this thing like opened up in this pile of clothing and this face appeared. And he said, "Yeah." And then an arm came out and I handed him a cup of coffee. And in terms of making a connection, this experience was incredibly profound. I know these are words, but at the time, I awakened to the fact that I didn't know anything, and that the experience here was to not know, to just be open, because these guys were going to teach me how to be a better social worker. And the other thing was that it was no longer a social worker and a client. It was, in a sense, we became equals. We were all on the street in the cold together. And the one last thing that I learned, which I didn't never realized before, and I think I've talked about much of this, I learned that, you know, when you're homeless, certainly a place of shelter and food is extremely important. But I learned that equally important was to be acknowledged, to be recognized. Because if you think of it, when we walk down the street, if you see several homeless people, what you do is you walk on the other side of the street. You certainly don't make eye contact or call or say how you're doing. I'm not saying that you don't do this, but generally speaking, the public does not do this. The public avoids homelessness. So there's no recognition as being a human being. So by eventually entering into a place of not knowing, having what I thought I knew overwhelmed by the truth, what was really there, it made me a much better social worker, but even more importantly, a much better human being, I think. So the second tenet of the three tenets is bearing witness. And I'm going to talk about this in the end action, but later when we have our practice circle, I'm going to ask all of us to bear witness to each other. So to bear witness, we have to first enter this place of not knowing that I talked about. So when we bear witness, we're not entering the situation with the feeling that we know what to do. But as Bernie would say, we're entering it completely as a child, just being there to listen and to feel with every bone, every cell, with every hair of our bodies, feeling what's happening, using the ingredients of the situation, allowing the ingredients of the situation to arise so that we are able to take the necessary action with clarity and compassion. Again, this is profound, as many of you know that I've just had a grandson. So I've spent a lot of time observing a baby. And one of the things, I don't know about stage, you know, in the first year, but Nico is his name, is very alert. His eyes, when he's awake, are really open. And he can see that he really follows what's happening in his environment. He can hear sounds and he responds in a particular way. And the beauty of this is it's totally innocent. There's no filters. It's just he hears that sound. You make a silly face. He's looking like this. You know, I think that's what Bernie is talking about when he's talking about we enter into this place of bearing witness like a child. So when we bear witness, we open to the uniqueness of what is ever rising and meet it just as it is. And true bearing witness is to be present to the very things that make us feel that we have lost our center. We don't turn our head. We don't look for denial, a place to hide, but we actually face it again from this place of openness and vulnerability. Because it's from that place that we will see most clearly how do we respond, not react, but how do we respond to the circumstances that are in front of us. And finally, bearing witness can allow us to eventually come to terms with the most difficult of life's circumstances, which we're certainly going through now. And there's nothing that we can't bear witness to. Right? It doesn't have to always be dramatic. It's just bearing witness to our life and whatever presents itself. So we can bear witness when confronted with the guy who has taken our parking spot. We can bear witness to having to deal with all of the crazy politics that go on. This is our life. And the best way I think to deal with it is to use these tenets, and particularly to bear witness to them. We can also bear witness to a dear friend who is dying from the coronavirus, or our neighbor. It doesn't have to be a dear friend, but we can bear witness to these events that appear before us. And bearing witness is to be active. It's not really passive. It doesn't mean you have to physically do anything, but it, again, it's appearing to these circumstances with the clarity of a baby. So we are actively engaged and embodied, even struggling with whatever is involved. And holding center is about living the fullness of our own humanity while we are alive, and to be fully alive. Now, when I was preparing this talk, I came across a lovely story, a beautiful story. A lovely is not the right word, but a beautiful story, heart-wrenching, actually. Now, Wendy Eyuku Nakyao is the abbess of the Zen Center of Los Angeles, and this is her story. I'm not going to tell it as I remember it. I'm going to read the story to you. Wendy says, "When I recently conducted a public face-to-face, in my Zen community, a longtime spiritual practitioner, wearing a yarmulke over his silver hair, came forward and took a seat beside me. He began saying, 'Hitler is my teacher. He has been my teacher for all my life.' He then shared with the group for the first time the harrowing account of his childhood. From the ages of 7 to 9, this young boy and his family were hidden by a Polish family in a small dirt pit on their farm. And this family lived in darkness for 2 years until World War II ended. And since then, he has been wrestling with the effects of those years in the pit. And bearing witness has indeed been the practice of a lifetime for him." And she goes on to say, "On this Sunday, when we were bearing witness together to his story, his shining eyes and glowing face exuded an unshakable peace. Although listening to the account was difficult to absorb, the act of witnessing together formed a collective center. The group itself became an empty vessel of stillness. True bearing witness is to be present to the very things that make us feel as if we have lost our center." So I was talking about the group coming together and forming a collective center, and that the group became an empty vessel and stillness and silence into which this man poured the suffering of his lifetime. And when he stood up and returned to his seat, he said softly, as if to himself, "I guess I have come to accept all of it." And he had experienced a sense of wholeness by bearing witness to the parts of his life that were previously present but not fully accepted. Now, it's also important to see that simultaneously to him bearing witness, which must have taken an incredible amount of courage, the Sangha itself was also coming together as one, with one center, and was bearing witness to him, creating a space, the space of bearing witness, of not being there with all our prejudiced ideas and all that, just being present like a child, allowed and created a space for him to do his work. And I think everybody in that Sangha at that time, bearing witness, was open-hearted and compassionate. And that was the energy in the Zendo. And so finally, taking action comes from not knowing and bearing witness. Because again, if we can clear our minds and see clearly, we will be able to act more appropriately. And not only more appropriately, but also with an open heart, with compassion. So in regard to taking action, it's impossible to predict what the action in any situation will be, or a timetable for when it will arise or what it might result from. The underlying intention of that action that arises is caring action, which serves everyone and everything, including ourselves. the whole situation and everything that's included in that situation. Again, it's not a dualistic experience. It's not, I'm extending compassion for the man who got up in the Zendo and spoke so heartfeltly. It's compassion itself that creates the presence of compassion. And that compassion includes ourselves because we are a part. Nothing is left out. And that action arises from the engagement of not knowing and bearing witness. And the thing about it is, it's many times spontaneous and also surprising. And it almost always fits the situation perfectly. So regards to the three tenets as a whole, as life unfolds around us, these three tenets, if we learn to live them and incorporate them, and they become active inside us, are always directing us to come back to center. When everything comes from different directions, these guide us back to a center, which prepare us to deal with these circumstances. Now, regarding bearing witness, we're going to have a practice circle later. And I'd like to ask all of us, to the best that we can, to bear witness to each other when we're speaking. And that means we're going to listen like a child. We're not going to be listening, formulating ideas or interpretations of what the person is saying, but to just simply receive it. And as Bernie said, receive it with every bone, every cell, every hair on our body. And if anything needs to be said later on or to be done, you will do it spontaneously. You will know. So again, that's my request, that we all together as a Sangha create a space that's open and for us to bear witness to each other. So thank you.